Good morning. This morning we are going to continue on this journey around the table. And we've been talking about the table as sort of a centerpiece of the sermons the past several Sundays. And last Sunday we sort of explored, if you were with us, some of the drama that sometimes goes around the table, where you might disagree with a family member or there might be some tension with somebody you're sitting with. And sort of what that means for us as Christians is when we come to the table of God and how we're called to be reconciled, that is, reconnected and forgiving one another. And this morning we're going to talk about another, it's a tough conversation that tends to happen around the table. It's a conversation that I've had with my spouse before, or maybe you've had it with one of your spouses, or your spouse, not one of your spouses. Man, let's scratch that recording and start over. This is a conversation you probably had in your family. There's a safe way of saying it. And it's the conversation about money and about finances. And there's a particular story this morning in the gospel that takes place around a table. And at this table, there's a woman who is incredibly poor. But she has something incredibly valuable and precious to her. It's this box of expensive perfume. And in the story, she goes and she anoints Jesus' feet with this expensive perfume. And immediately the disciples, the followers of Christ, as they are gathered around the table, they're asking, why would she do that? Why would you take this expensive oil and waste it when you could sell it and take that money and give it to the poor or serve in some other way? And of course, the disciples were thinking this way, because they were traveling from town to town, reaching out to the sick, healing the sick, proclaiming the good news. And this is a way that they could do it, by selling the oil and using the money. And yet Jesus immediately sort of corrects their understanding, because there's something that this woman understands that the disciples fail to. And that is, out of generosity and love, she is anointing the feet of Christ. And in a way, he says, she's symbolically, she's preparing him, anointing him for his death. She's so generous with her most valued possession that he even says that this is the story that's going to be told over and over again. And here we are, telling the story. What this story highlights is a tension that we all find ourselves in from time to time. It's a tension between an idea of scarcity and an idea of abundance. When I talk about scarcity, we tend to think about things that we don't have, that we wish we had, that we want to have. And when we think about abundance, it's when we look at everything and we realize we have so much, we've been given so much, we have more than we need. And I think these two ideas at times are in conflict within us as we reflect on what is going on in our own lives. But I'd also argue that probably more often than not, our brains default to what we don't have instead of what we do. We tend to think about what is scarce instead of what is abundant. And this is how the story plays out in Scripture, and you sort of see it, and you see it begin to unfold at the very beginning. And I want to highlight some of the way the Bible talks about scarcity and abundance and what this means for us. First of all, we got to look at creation itself. The psalmist, when they reflect on what God has done, he says, "The earth is the Lord and all it contains, for the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." That is, God created everything, and everything that the world contains is his. He says, "The skies are yours, the land is yours, the world and all that is in it, you have founded them, the north and the south, you have created them." So God created everything in abundance. He desired life and abundance. Not only that, but he created you. It says, we know that Yahweh, that he is God, and it is he who made us, and we belong to him. So it's everything created, every creature and living thing, everything God created and abundance. And this is pretty impressive just to think about, the fact that God created all these things and sort of placed the world into motion. But what is more amazing is that he did it and then he hands it over to us. In the story of Genesis, it said, God said, "Behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the land, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And I have given to you every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth, which is life, every green plant for food." And it was so. And so this is how it began. I mean, Adam and Eve are walking around, and they're like, "Oh, this is for me. This is for me. This is for me." Living in a world of abundance. But then scarcity entered the picture. And here's how it entered the picture. They had everything in the world that God created for them, except for one thing. That was the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. And that's what Satan used to exploit them. I mean, he comes upon Eve and he says, "You know, did God really say you shall not eat any of this fruit from this tree? I mean, surely you'll not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like Elohim." That's like God, knowing good and knowing evil. And it's like in that moment something clicked. Eve realized she was missing something. In fact, the way Scripture talks about it is that Adam and Eve desired it. And that Hebrew word for desire has more of a feel of envy, jealousy, a sense of scarcity. What's crazy is they had everything, but they couldn't help but focus on the one thing they didn't have. And so they desired, and they took. And sure enough, the ripple effect of this we know, like, immediately the world changed. Everyone actually began to see what they didn't have. Murder entered the picture because of jealousy and envy. Wars broke out because people were afraid they wouldn't have. People fought for resources and supplies because the abundant world all of a sudden seemed dramatically scarce. And it felt as if there was not going to be enough unless you fought for it, unless you defended for it. There were some very real implications of this desire. And these implications still affect us now. There are some very practical implications and spiritual implications of us not recognizing the abundance that we have from God and instead living with a sense of scarcity, that we don't have enough. So here at Bethany, this is kind of the Sunday. I don't know if attendance is down because word got out or not, but we do our commitments this Sunday for our giving for next year. And whenever we talk about money or we talk about commitments, that triggers for a lot of us those feelings of scarcity or abundance. But there's some very real things that happen because of those feelings. It changes the way you behave, it changes the way you respond, it changes the way you see the world and how you respond to God. So let's tackle some of the practical implications first, because honestly, these are just numbers. This is easy stuff, all right? Some of the practical implications of the money tree that we all desire so much. The things that we have to pay for. So here at Bethany, our annual tithes and our offerings pay for a lot of things. And one of the things it pays for is something we don't tend to talk about, but it's always there. We have approximately $186,000 a year in utilities. That is to flush toilets, turn on lights, have air conditioning, and have heat. This is very simple things when we come together that we don't tend to acknowledge or recognize. We don't see the abundance always of light that we have, or in August, how cool it is in the building. It takes $122,000 a year just to keep the place looking nice. That is to clean the floors, sweep the floors, mow the lawn, things like this, approximately, all right? So when you show up and things aren't dusty and dirty, and the floors are vacuumed, that's part of it. And again, we show up every week and maybe we don't see the abundance of cleanliness that we have around us. Here's the big one. We have $6.9 million of debt, approximately, for the buildings that we use. Now, this might be surprising to some people, but this is how much it costs to occupy this building and the other building which we built. What's even crazier is this is just reality. For about every million that we pay off, it frees up $75,000 a year. Now, this should be triggering some of you, right? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you have debt, like I'm still paying my student loans, I don't know when that pain will end. I'm still trying to take care of my own finances, and I'm sure many of you find yourselves in similar positions, but when you start to think about debt and scarcity and abundance, I mean, all these things should start triggering you. It should trigger, for some of us, many of us, a scarcity mindset. Like when you see those numbers, maybe you stress up a little bit. Now here's what Bethany could do. Like, if you have that much debt and you're spending that much money, maybe the inclination is to say, let's shut it down. Let's consolidate and let's make sure everything's taken care of and lock this thing down. And you do that when you feel like there isn't going to be enough, when you feel there is scarcity. You do that when you don't trust that God is going to be present in everything we do. You see, Bethany actually doesn't do this. We don't function this way. If we function that way, things wouldn't happen. And there's a lot of good things that do happen because of God's generosity and the generosity that God has in and through you. Let me show you some other very practical numbers. I mean, we spend $214,000 a year, approximately, on missions, outreach, and community support. And this is stuff that goes towards church planting and church startups, mothers of preschoolers, Camp Lone Star, Concordia, Texas, the South Austin Pregnancy Center, assistance ministries and caregiving ministries, things that just take care of people that have needs, ways that we connect Christ to the community. What this number doesn't include is actually what all of you give, not in an offering plate, not part of our work plan, to other ministries that reach out. Things like Comfort Dogs and Academy 4, Let It Shine, our preschool for kids with disabilities, Homestead, Austin Disaster Relief Network, Stephen Ministry, Lutheran Women's Missionary League, all these things come out of the abundance that we have together in Christ. But here's another reality. And this one's a little bit harder to see. Approximately 9 households cover a third of our annual budget. It means 9 families pay a lot of the bills. And so this is something that should challenge us a little bit. Do we live out of a sense of abundance that we have in and through Christ, or are we living out of scarcity and fear, not recognizing what we've been given? You see, we need generous people. We need you. Because it's through you God's work is done. It's how the kingdom spreads. It's how we're able to serve people in need, connect people to Christ, to gather in a building and worship. And God works through all of these things. So this is just the practical sense. Like, churches have bills, we got to pay them. And so part of the the commitment Sunday is us just sort of anticipating that we'll be able to pay our bills, right? But there's spiritual implications to this as well, not just practical ones. And it has everything to do with how you see yourself in light of what God is doing, not only here at Bethany, but actually in you through the Holy Spirit. So a lot of times when these giving sermons are made, we talk about giving a sacrifice, sacrificially give. And actually, I'm not a big fan of the term sacrificially giving. And the reason why is because it sort of insinuates that it was yours to begin with. You don't sacrificially give back to God what is God's. It's His. It's just, we're the last ones sometimes to remember that. And that's the spiritual piece of this. It's sort of seeing yourself in light of that creation story. Do you see the abundance that God has given you in your life? Or do you see those things you don't have? And then how do you respond? So one of the things we're going to be doing a little bit later here in worship is when it's time for communion, when you come up to the Lord's table, when you come up to the table to receive His abundance of grace and mercy, you'll have an opportunity to give your commitment card. Just drop it in the box. Some of you have done it online. Some of you have already turned it in. It's great. It's not about whether or not you literally drop it in the box today. It's just where you're at in your heart with this. If you don't give anything to the church, to the ministries that serve, I'm going to just challenge you to reflect on this a little bit. And reflect on what God has given you and how you view the world that you live in. And what I'm going to challenge you to do is to commit to something. Even if it's just $5 a week. As a step towards faithful trust in what God is doing. If you already give, amen. Like, this is an area that maybe you're a little bit more comfortable in. But all of us need to be challenged with our perception of what we have and what we don't have. And it's not because, to my knowledge, none of the pastors are looking for a new Lamborghini or anything like that. It's just very simple. It's to turn on the lights and plant churches, to do youth ministry, to serve our children, to prepare a place for the future generations here at Bethany. And we do it because of God's abundance. Because God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. So that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. And see how great the love of the Father has given on us, that we would be called the children of God, and that is what we are. He's given us everything. He's given this eternal life, and life in His Son. And what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him over for us, how will He not also with Him freely gift us all things? Abundantly everything. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. As hard as the money conversations around the table can be, there's a very amazing promise that we do have at the table of God, and that is there is no scarcity of God. There is no scarcity of His love. It doesn't run out. It's completely abundant and full of life and grace and mercy. And so no matter where you find yourself this morning, find yourself in this place, in a place where God is abundantly giving to you for no other reason than that He loves you, and you are His. And so rest in the abundant grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He has given you everything. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.